I argue that St. James presents to us the greatest challenge for us as Christians. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Be doers of the word, not hearers. Now, it's easy for us to be a hearer. We hear passively. You know, sound can go into our ears and we hear it. And sometimes that sound goes into our ears and it seems like it goes right out the other side, in one ear and out the other. But it's passive, it's apathetic. We don't care enough to actually pay attention to what we're hearing. And when we do that, when we hear the word, but we don't pay attention to it, like we can so easily do at Mass, it doesn't challenge us. It doesn't challenge or require anything from us. It requires no change on our part to just allow that sound to pass harmlessly through us. Or worse yet, we can be selective hearers, where we can listen to only the parts of the scripture that affirms us, that agrees with us. And I'll talk a little bit how that's caused problems in the history of the church. We end up hearing things in the Word of God that agree with us and somehow miss the ones that disagree with us, that challenge us. It's easy to be a hearer, but it's hard to be a doer of the Word, to actively live out God's commandments, to take in God's commandments and actively live them out. That's much more difficult because that requires much from us. It requires us to change, something we don't want to do. It requires us to have a constant reevaluation of our lives. Are we living as the scriptures command us to do? That's difficult. And this has been a constant struggle throughout all of humanity. This is not a new thing. This challenge between being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. Look at the Israelites in the Old Covenant. They were given God's word in the Mosaic Law, in the statutes and decrees taught by Moses, directly from God. And they regularly fell away from that. They regularly turned away from observing God's commandments. And they would go to false gods. They would go to the false gods from other religions and fall away from the commandments of God. And so they would need the judges, the leaders of Israel, and they need the prophets to bring them back, to call them back to following God's law, to following the word of God. By the time of our Lord, things changed a little bit. You've got the scribes and the Pharisees that we hear so much about in the Gospels. They got very strict about God's law to the point of putting barriers around things so that you couldn't even come close to hitting a violation of God's law. So they'd say X is bad, so we're going to sit back here and say you can't even do Y that could lead to X. You know, and some of the rituals of purification became extreme. It talks in the scriptures about, you know, washing the cup and the bowl. You know, because the tradition was when you would bring meat home from market, you had to purify it. There's a purification ritual. Well, not just are we going to purify the meat, we're also going to purify the plates. Even though the plates are clean, there's still a purification ritual you do as part of that. And so on. So they made it harder to fall into the Mosaic Law because they kept you from it in the first place. They enforced it very strictly. Throughout the history of the church, we see people falling into these same kind of traps. We see people in the church who will take the word of God and they'll pick and choose. They'll take sections out of context. And so many heresies that arose throughout the history of the church happened when we took sections of the scriptures but cut other sections out. That we're going to follow these parts, but we're going to ignore these parts. And what generally would happen then is it would cause divisions within the church. You would have the people following this heresy are going one way. You'd have people following that heresy going another way. And then you'd have those who are actually following the teachings of the church going a third way. And this actually led to the Protestant Reformation and the many, many denominations we have today within Protestantism. Hundreds, or tens, not hundreds, tens of thousands of Protestant denominations, from little small independent churches to like the Methodists and the Lutherans, and even denominations within Lutheranism and so on, because they would take sections of the Bible in certain contexts and set aside other parts. You know, for example, when Jesus says, "This is my body," he meant it. Unlike a lot of Protestant churches that don't believe that, they don't believe that anything happens when "this is my body and this is my blood" is said over the altar, over the bread and wine. Things like that. They splintered off and splintered off and splintered off due to erroneous or out of context understanding of the scriptures. And that's why we have so many denominations. They use human tradition to read the scriptures, not take tradition from the scriptures. It's a very different way than what we think of as Catholics. An opposite side, though, of being a hearer of the word and not doer is apathy. There are so many Catholics today, or people who at least identify as Catholics today, who are very apathetic about their faith. They don't have a practice of the faith. They might give lip service. They might say, "Oh yeah, I'm Catholic. I haven't been to church in 30 years. I don't pray, but I'm Catholic." Not quite. Being Catholic is not just being part of a club. It's being a doer of the word. And so these people who are hearers of the word, who claim to be Catholic, they have no public or private practice of the faith. They don't pray privately, and they don't come to church publicly. You know, that's a danger that we can fall into. As St. James tells us, to be a doer of the word means to humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your soul. Humbly receiving the word. It's allowing the word of God to influence our lives, having the humility to engage the word of God and allow it to change us. Allow it to convert us. And for that to happen, we must be in the word. We must be involved with the scriptures. The scriptures need to be a part of our daily lives. They can't just be something that we do once a week when we come to Mass and we hear it read here. It needs to be something daily. Let's be honest, we Catholics have a reputation of our Bibles having that much dust on them that they've been sitting and not used. We need to blow that dust off and to be in them. We need to be praying with the scriptures daily, and we need to be studying the scriptures daily. But of course, that brings up the question, how do we do that? And I can give you a couple suggestions, and there are many more out there, but these are a couple of suggestions that I personally find fulfilling. When we pray with the scriptures, the best thing we can do is to use resources that help us actually pray the words of scripture. And so one of the most common and hopefully the best known is the Divine Office, also known as the Liturgy of the Hours. The Liturgy of the Hours is the daily prayer of the church. The church as a whole together prays these prayers. I, as a priest, am obligated to pray this Divine Office every day. And the Divine Office is set up, this Liturgy of the Hours, is set up where there's certain periods throughout the day. Morning prayer, daytime, the couple of daytime prayers, evening prayer, night prayer, that we pray these prayers throughout the day. And each of these prayers are made up of the Psalms, mostly. Every office, every hour, morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer, so on, has psalms that we pray as a church together. And every day, every time you pray, it's different psalms. We are praying through the scriptures. There are also scripture readings, usually short ones, although there's one office called the Office of Readings that has a much more lengthy section of the scriptures. So we are praying, when we pray this Liturgy of the Hours, we are literally praying the scriptures. And we do this every day. This is an easy one to do, especially now, because there are, you know, apps for your smartphone, apps for your, you know, iPhone or your Android phone or whatever, that can let you do it very easily. You download this app, you tell it, "I want morning prayer for today," and it will bring it up for you. It's that simple. Before these apps, the books you get are like a 4-volume book that each of them are about that thick. And lots of ribbons, and you're flipping around. It's kind of confusing when you're first learning it. These apps make the Liturgy of the Hours so much easier. So that's one very highly recommended option for praying the Scriptures. Another, and something that I would like to do something more on, I would like to describe more in depth and kind of do it as a public forum to show how it's done, is Lectio Divina, divine reading, or sacred reading. It is praying the words of Scripture, which there's four steps to it. The first step, you read a passage of Scripture, usually a verse or two at most. You don't read like a whole section like we do at Mass. You read a small section, small chunk. So you read it, and you read it over and over, slowly. You don't just zip through it. You slowly read it. And eventually, something is going to stand out in that reading. It's going to pop up, and it's going to catch your attention. And then you go to the second stage, which is called meditation. You take that one section in your mind, you chew on it. That one word or that one phrase that really stood out to you, you chew on it, you meditate on it, you think about it. Ideally, as you're doing that, a prayer will arise in your heart. You'll go, oh, I need to pray about this. I want to pray about this, whatever that might be. That's the third stage, is to bring that prayer out, to actually bring that prayer to God, to offer that prayer as part of that meditation. And you go through these three phases, and you can go through them back and forth multiple times, where you could say a prayer and then go back to the reading or go back to the meditation. Ideally, though, if as you develop in the practice of doing Lectio, you'll be able to move to the fourth phase, which is a gift from God. It's called contemplation. And contemplation is more than just praying to God. It's sitting in the presence of God. Like I said, this is a gift from God, is that we are so immersed in our love for God and so immersed in our desire to be united with Him that we just sit in His presence. We just bring ourselves to Him and we sit in His presence. We're not speaking. We're not offering prayers of intercession or anything like that. We're just there in His presence. This is the most difficult part to reach, and it's very rare that we will reach this. We shouldn't be disappointed if the first time we sit down to do Lectio, we never get past the vocal prayers. That's fine. We're offering the prayers. So like I said, this is something, though, that it, very short explanation of it. I would like to, like I said, I'd like to at some point maybe even do a class in a public prayer session where we go through these phases and show what that looks like, at least as much as we can. But those are just two options of many more for how we can pray with the Scriptures. The second thing we need to do is we need to study the Scriptures. If we're in the Scriptures, we need to learn more about what the Scriptures are saying. And this is where a good Bible commentary or a Bible series can help. And I highly, highly, highly recommend, with few exceptions, find a Catholic commentary. As I said, there's a lot of Protestant denominations that they have just a little bit off understanding of what the Scripture says. And 99% of the Scriptures, we would agree with them 100%. 99% of it, we would agree with them completely. But there's always that 1%. And that 1% can lead you astray. If you find a good Catholic commentary, you know that you are following what Christ revealed in the Scriptures, in the tradition of the Church. And so a couple of recommendations for commentaries and studies. Right now, a priest on YouTube, Father Michael Schmitz, I believe he's actually from Duluth, Minnesota, he's doing a Bible, Read the Bible in the Year on YouTube, where every day he does a passage of the Bible. And you can go back, he started at the beginning of the year, but you can go back to his first lesson, his first video, and work through it every day, a Bible passage of the day. So I highly encourage that. That's a good way to read through the Bible, is to do something like that, especially when it's led, where you just watch the video and read the passage. It's a great way to do that. a couple of good Catholic commentaries that I like, books that I like. One that's fairly cheap. It's about the soft cover, the paperback version is about $20. It's called the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. It's by Ignatius Press. Dr. Scott Hahn is a big contributor to it. He does a lot. He's kind of the spearhead of it. Highly recommend it. It's a fairly good thick book. And right now they only have the New Testament available. They're working on the Old Testament. You can buy like little pamphlet books, little booklets that have it. But if you want the big one, it's only the New Testament so far. Eventually, the Old Testament will come out. But I highly recommend that one. That's an excellent commentary Bible. To just, you read the passage, and then there's the little text at the bottom describing what's going on. That's a good one. Another one I like that is a little more expensive, can actually be quite a bit more expensive, depending on which edition you get, is called the Navarre Bible. The Navarre Bible is one that's out of the University of Navarre in Spain, and is another excellent commentary where you've got the English on the top and the English translation of the Bible, and then on the bottom is a commentary. Very much another one worth reading. You can get a New Testament all in one book, or you can get individual books for the New Testament, and it's all just very easy to read. Those are just three recommendations for commentaries and for studies, and there's many more out there. I mean, if you go look at Dr. Scott Hahn's site, he's got lots and lots and lots of Bible commentaries and things that you can read, and that's just one person. Lots of other resources, but those are just three off the top of my head that I think are worth recommending, because we need to be in the Scriptures. If we are to be doers of the Word, we need to be studying these commentaries. We need to be learning about the Scriptures so that we can better live it. And it is important that we be a doer of the Word, because to be a hearer only allows those evils that our Lord talks about in the Gospel to fester within us. You know, our Lord says, evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we might look at that list and go, yeah, I see about two or three there that describes me. Sometimes I have some evil thoughts towards someone who upset me. Sometimes I'm envious of what someone else has. Sometimes I can be a bit arrogant at times. You know, we might say something like that. When we are not being doers of the Word, we are allowing that evil to remain in us and defile us. But if we become doers of the Word, if we allow the Scripture to come into us, the Word of God to come into us and to change us, to influence us, we can root that out. We can get all of that out, purify our hearts so that we might follow God's commandments. And that's ultimately what we are here to do. And this leads to what St. James says, the practice of a religion pure and undefiled. And how he describes it is to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, to do the works of mercy, to reach out to those who are in need, especially widows and orphans, and also to keep oneself unstained by the world, that we might be more influenced by our Lord and his commandments and his teachings than we are by the things of the world, the desires of the world. Because that's what happens when you're hearer of the word, you listen more to the world, is what we usually end up doing. So the time for us is to stop deluding ourselves and being only hearers of the word. We need to stop that. And it is time for us to be doers of the word, to be in the Scriptures, so that we may be changed and we may be purified for our Lord.